And we're back.
Wait, is this Edge? No, this is...
No, MCT quarterly update,
right? Oh, okay. We got it. We're good.
And so welcome to the MCT quarterly update. He's Rick Claus. I'm Joey Snow. And what are we going to talk about today?
Melissa pinged us to ask us to talk about how to present and how to get better at delivery and...
demonstration skills.
Demonstration skills on demos.
You're just stellar right now. I'm actually kind of afraid to even kind of get into this.
I'm just having a hard time. One coffee today is just not really working out for me.
All right, so we're going to talk a little bit about the presentation skills we get asked all of the time. You know, with the fact that we do a lot of things, whether it be keynote presentations, we do a lot of sessions at mm-hmm. TechEd, some of our internal conferences, as well as this tour that we happen to be on lately.
How does it apply to someone who's delivering mock?
Yeah,
I understand.
Right. Well, so let's talk about that. I think the main thing here is a lot of things that we're going to talk about today apply no matter what you're doing, whether you're doing a mock presentation, whether you're doing something with a user group, or even, you know, just kind of an online presentation like we're doing here. You're starting to scare me, buddy.
Let's dive into a demo. It's a good way to start.
Okay, let's dive right on in.
Okay, so I want to bring up my machine right here, if you could, for a second here. Demo. There we go. So, okay, I was going to show you some stuff on multi-server management. And so
okay.
I've got a hypervisor running here on my laptop, and I've got a bunch of different machines that are off and running. And I wanted to go ahead and, I didn't start start this machine that I need to have up and running here. While that one's starting, what I'll do is I need to figure out what my IP address is here. One second here. IP config, all, see that. Okay, it's 10.10.10.123. Domain controller. Wait. Okay, here we go. I got it. Here's the domain controller. I want to sign on to the domain controller and then be able to show you guys a little bit about Server Manager. Because Server Manager is our tool for managing servers in a multi-server environment. So here you can see that I've got Server Manager up and running. It has five areas that are very important, and these areas are the same on everything that you do. You've got a fast event search. You've got services that are listed for what services are there. And if I type something in here like services, like the Joey service, it doesn't come up with anything there. If I type in hypervisor... it doesn't come up either here. Hang on a second.
Rick.
I got it. Performance is important too. So performance has some stuff with regards to error messages that come up if the performance is not going well with the system.
So talk about performance is not going well.
But no, give me a second. Give me a second. I'm good here. Let me pull this off. I've got a... I'll show you some PowerShell stuff. I got some great PowerShell stuff here that I can show you about automation. Where is it? I think it's this guy right here. I wanted to open up and show it to you.
Okay, dude, I'm stopping you right now. Seriously, that is the worst demo I have ever seen you do. I have seen you clause things fantastically, smearing things everywhere, and dude, that was horrible.
That was actually extremely difficult to do.
It's extremely difficult for me to sit here and watch you do that.
Trying to do a demo bad is actually harder than trying to do a demo good, or demo well, I guess is the proper
term.
Demo good?
You've got good grammars?
I speaks well. I did probably close to a dozen or more things wrong inside that one section. And I'd actually love it if people in the Q&A could possibly point out a couple of things that I might have done wrong. And when Melissa approached us to come and talk to you about demonstration and demonstration skills and presentation skills and stuff like that, she actually asked us, you know, give us some tips and tricks on what you can do. And it's like, well, there's so many things that you're probably already doing right now, but you're just doing them subconsciously. And because you're doing them subconsciously, you're not aware of the caliber of what you're doing, yet alone being able to level up your game for being able to do them even better. And so this section here is going to be talking more about the things you can do consciously, making these choices to be able to become a better person to deliver demonstrations, which ultimately turns into better delivery of mock, which ultimately also turns into better delivery of anything. I mean, you're talking about the very beginning. Demonstration skills and presentation skills are something that are important in all facets facets of your career. If you're a trainer, if you're a salesperson, if you're an engineer, if you're an IT person of any kind, you have to know how to talk and walk and do the demo and do it well. So please don't do the demo like I just did there. Let's actually show you some of the tips and tricks.
And Rick, don't ever do that again.
Okay, well, at least now it's on camera.
And at least now it's recorded, right?
The first thing I want to call out is actually something that happened before this even started, which is know your environment and know the hardware and the video projection, all sorts of stuff you should be working with, because during that 10-minute break, I was actually fighting with my laptop to get the proper resolution to come out. So at Microsoft, we're blessed with having a lot of digital projectors to be able to project with, and those digital resolutions are at 1080p or 720p resolution, which is 1366/768.
That's the entry point, right?
Right, or 1280 by 720, but that doesn't allow you to do a Windows 8 modern application full screen. You have to go 1366 by 768.
Right.
Another one you might be familiar with is 1920 by 1080, which is 1080p.
Right.
So anyway, get the proper resolution and make sure you're working correctly, because if you're at the wrong resolution, like 800 by 600 or 1024 by 768, you're at a rectangle, small screen, standard definition. So,
and this is important too, you know, knowing that environment where you're, you could be a contract trainer going into a new facility that you've never seen before. You don't know quite what those projectors are like. You know, get there, understand it. We've been seeing this a lot on our tour lately, where we'll go in and you can have all sorts of different projectors. So know what you're going into, know that environment, and really kind of own it. So that proper resolution, first step, first entry point, right? Yeah. The second thing, and can we go back to Rick's laptop here? The second thing I'm going to completely call you out on. What is this?
This is my Boxing Day hockey street party.
And you that find that's appropriate to have for a background
for
image on a demo?
A personal laptop, I would say yes. For something you're going to be presenting in front of people, I would probably say no. So I purposely chose that picture to be able to show you guys the neighborhood I used to live in. It actually kind of looks like Seattle outside today because it's snowing today. But it's actually all melted. So first things you got to do, this is actually a server OS that I'm running right now. So I'm going to go in here and I'm going to change this back to a regular resolution because it's the proper resolution. And I'm also going to clear up my desktop a bit. So I want to bring me back to my demo machine for 1 second. First thing is, in case you don't know, with Server 2012, if you don't have the desktop experience installed, you can't actually change your background wallpaper.
Right.
So a trick you can do is fire up your start screen and then just type in background. And then switch over here to your settings and then choose change desktop background.
Okay.
I strongly recommend you go with a branded background, which is something like Server 2012. Nice and clean, clear, non-distracting. The key point to this is not necessarily marketing. It's a non-distracting background with background stuff people are going to be looking at and drawing from. Next thing that comes up that also was generally very happy, and again, I don't know if they do this in the mock environment. I always do this in my demonstration environment. This is a wonderful utility that happens to be called BG Info. And BG Info gives the user context of where you are in a demonstration. So you can see up here in the top right-hand corner, I'm on the H2 machine, logged on as administrator in the corp.contoso domain. Gives them context. I'm pretty sure the mock images do that. If not, BG Info is a free download from SysInternals to be able to go off and to use it.
And this is great for that demo environment, right?
Yep.
So I get lost all the time when we're doing demos. We've got multiple machines.
I didn't want to call that out or anything, but
well,
you always get lost.
That's all right. That's all right.
Now, also with the desktop, you obviously have an awful lot of clutter on this desktop. So there's a couple ways of cleaning this up. Yeah, generally you should be down here at the bottom pinning the icons you need to have. But what I like to do is simply highlight them all and then simply say cut, go to my documents library, make a temporary folder called junk, and then paste to get rid of them all so that it has a nice, clean, clear, using every pixel to get your point across.
Mm-hmm.
Non-distracting, get your point across, use every single pixel that you possibly can. Also on this is another thing that happens to come up a little bit of time is down in the bottom right-hand corner, you can see my date and time.
Yeah.
Despite contrary belief and people that work at Microsoft, the world does not revolve around PST.
It doesn't.
So if you're not in the PST time zone, you should probably set your time zone to the proper time. In case you don't know how to do that, if I can click on it, double click. There we go. Change date and time zone to the appropriate time zone. We were in Mountain Time a couple of days ago. So, or was it Central Time?
We were in Central Time, yes.
My clock is all wrong. Let's change it to the proper time and then hit OK.
Actually, it's not that wrong because we have been home for one day. So technically, we have shifted now to the Mountain Time zone on our way to Pacific.
It's 1 hour every day that you're away.
Exactly.
Now, this was actually brought up as a point to bring up for MCTs is that if you're teaching the older courses, 2008 R2 or 2003, I don't know why someone still is, but someone could be, the VMs could possibly expire and not work for you and have become in a violation of licensing. Mm-hmm. So obviously test this, make sure it works before you go ahead and make any changes. Right. Time zone should be fine to be able to go off and change it. Right. Another thing you could do if the time zone is not possible for you to go off and to do that is unclutter this whole area here. You can do that by choosing properties of your taskbar, choosing customize, and then taking the things you don't need to have. So this is a server. I don't need to show the volume. So you know what? Hide that volume guy. He's now gone. I can also go down here and hit the icons for the system and turn off the clock. And that simply just makes it nice, clear, clean, down at the bottom right-hand corner where there's nothing there.
Yeah, and that's great because then I'm not distracted with, oh, hey, look at all the different apps that Rick is running on his system as he's going on.
Keep it minimal, what you need, and everything's all good.
All right, I'm going to call you out on another thing.
What?
Your Windows, man.
Oh, okay.
Your Windows. Could you scroll bar anymore?
I'm trying.
And the other thing, too, is you weren't even using a mouse. You were using the touchpad on your laptop.
So that's another lesson, is be prepared with the proper tools to get the job done. So one of the things was the driver for the laptop. The next thing you had to be aware of is the fact that the touchpad on this particular machine is really bad unless you're using an external mouse. And so you always should use an external mouse with this particular laptop because the touchpad drivers are flaky. I should probably check if there's an update or not. But so yeah,
again, know your environment.
Know your environment. Make sure you're tested and working and ready to go. In this case, I've got your mouse because I forgot mine.
Yes,
that I can now use.
Be prepared, buddy.
You won't believe the number of times I have sat through keynotes, demos, even mock delivery where people are not maximizing the windows. If you're not maximizing the window, people can't see what you're doing. So please use every pixel. Maximize your windows. That is much cleaner, nicer to look at, to be able to go off and to do things. You can even change your DPI ratio and that sort of stuff to get it so it even is better. Mm-hmm. It all depends on the projection that you're going to be using for your projection environment. So always maximize your windows. Likewise as well, if you're doing a virtual machine environment, notice how I got the black bars in the side there? Why is that?
Well, you're not running the connection in full screen mode.
The
right?
virtual machine guests also have to be set to the proper resolution.
Oh, well, there you go.
As well. So if I change this guy here, you might notice that 1280 by 1024 1280 by 720 is not even available as a selectable option.
Yeah.
That's because you have to go into advanced settings and then say list all modes and then choose 1280 by 720. And that'll make this guy look much nicer on the screen.
Oh, yeah. That's much better. Much better.
Okay. Sounds good. Looks good. I guess technically because I'm running at Jeff's requested 1366 by 768, I could even change it up even more. But I'll just, you know, keep this. He won't get too mad at me, I don't think.
One other thing I saw you do. You didn't have everything started, ready to go, ready for that first presentation.
Oh, yeah, the Contoso.app machine that was not running. So, yes, I should have had that guy up and running. So, obviously, make sure you have all the machines running. Make sure you've logged on to all the sessions you're going to be showing so you can easily flip back and forth between the different machines as you need to. Only common sense. So you're just generally prepared for your laptop and prepared for stuff to go.
Yeah, absolutely. So we've talked about having the right resolution, getting rid of that cluttered desktop, maximize your windows. The other thing that you did a couple things. You opened up a command prompt.
Oh, yeah.
So this happens to be one of Joey's number one pet peeves,
yeah,
which is kind of funny because I happen to be guilty of doing this. When you enter in a command window or some of those things, if I'm sitting at the back of the room, right? And I think you even mentioned it when you were doing your demo. Can you see this?
You got it.
If you're asking that question, no. Yeah. The answer is always no.
If you need to ask, can you see this at the back? You're already dead in the water. They should already have stuff set up. So what I typically tend to do is I change the color scheme and I increase the size for this just as a common courtesy. So I go over here and I choose my font. I normally choose Consolus myself. That's my personal preference. And I go for maybe a 28 or 36. 28 is probably good for this resolution. And then I also choose complementary colors. So I would go through and I change the background to maybe a light gray and then the screen text as a neon green or something like that. And that Actually, no, that's bad. Let me go and try a different
color.
Let's
try this again.
Let's try a darker color instead. So, there we go. Screen background. Let's go with, you know what? Let's go with the dark, high contrast.
Hey, there you go. Oh, it looks like I'm using a...
Looks like you're back to the old serial sessions.
Yeah, exactly.
It's my mainframe.
Connected
frame.
Right into the mainframe now.
My PP-11.
We're hacking the Gibson.
You got it. Here, let me just dollar. okay, so that's one. But what other command prompts should we be using an awful lot more besides just be the command prompt?
Well, command prompt is great, but I'm a huge fan of PowerShell and the PowerShells.
Oh, that's a little too small as well. Caveat on the PowerShell, it likes to be a wider window, so you can't make the font size as large unless, again, you tweak the size of the window. Same place, properties. Font's already set up to be a Lucidius console. I'm going to try 18, see if I can get away with that. I like to leave the colors for this guy because it's already a nice, comfortable, calming color of PowerShell.
Yeah.
To be able to go off and do this.
Well, but the other thing, Rick, And this is great, the PowerShell command line options, but there's one tool that I found I'm using. Anytime I use PowerShell, I want to use the ISE,
yes,
or the Integrated Scripting Environment.
What's the big thing you want to show off in the ISE the most?
Well, so for me, I am a typo master.
Yep.
So I like the ability with PowerShell, and particularly inside the ISE, I can actually have a script in the upper window.
Here,
I can go ahead and select exactly what I want to run and talk about it. So if you jump back to your machine, you'll see here. Okay,
so that's
an awesome script.
That's one way to look at it. This is actually the breakdown and getting the thumbprint and of certificates to be able to fire off virtual machines more effectively. A better way of being able to display this is actually going into your tools menu and options. And there's actually a theme that is called presentation mode.
Now, that is really cool. I actually did not know this until you showed this to me, because you see in the lower right-hand part of the screen, you've got this whole zoom bar, right, that you can go in and set and adjust your resolutions. But this presentation mode is really kind of designed from a color scheme,
yeah,
and size and sizing the windows so that you can do presentations.
Other thing that's also really good about the ISE, obviously, is simply the predictive, I want to say predictive text.
Yeah, IntelliSense.
Thank you.
Yes.
IntelliSense. Get app locker policy as an example. So you can go off and basically have stuff typed in for you, hit the tabs. Again, it shows the investments we've made on the PowerShell side to basically make it easier to learn, easier to use. So definitely very, very good.
One thing that I want to point out to the folks at home, all of these things seem rather trivial, but we find ourselves, even in the day-to-day presentations that we do, having to constantly remember all of these things. So, yeah, some of it is pretty trivial, but if you forget one little thing, it can lead to that distraction.
Yep.
And when you're looking at and dealing with presentations and you have just this small window to really kind of grab their attention, keep their attention, keep it going, and not lose them through the demo, every little kind of trick in the book matters. Yep.
And as you mentioned at the very beginning, most of you are probably already doing these types of things right now. Mm-hmm. You may be doing them subconsciously, mm-hmm, not aware of the fact that you're doing them, or it's just like second habit or second nature.
Yep.
But it's good to go through. Like going through this environment with you over the last couple of weeks for the tour that we're doing right now,
yep,
has made me remember all these different things as well, and reinforce the fact, oh yeah, I'm not doing the hiding of the clock, or I'm not doing the change of the command prompt stuff. So definitely very handy to have as a good refresher, even if you're a seasoned veteran or someone brand new doing training.
So if we jump over to the slides here, let's go through a couple of things, really kind of the theme, getting around this. It's about the tools.
Yep.
Know your tools, know how to leverage them, know how to use them. Every little trick that we have inside of this, some of these things that we pointed out, will really just kind of help enhance. And it kind of is that difference between getting that, you know, that 8 on the score versus a 9, mm-hmm, or 4 or 5, depending upon, you know, how you're being rated in your presentations.
I like to kind of equate this as going from the 8-bit world of having all your weapons and all your swords already in sharp,
yeah,
over to the razor fine Catan. So bringing up your game to a new level for being able to use demonstration skills.
Yeah, basically going from Minecraft to Ninja.
You got it.
here's one, and I love this.
It's been very hard. very hard for me to do all of this, even up to now, without using Zoomit, because I'm a Zoomit aficionado. I love right. Zoomit. And so I totally agree with Mark there. I will use Zoomit, and I will use it every time. And if it's not baked in the images you're teaching from, I will put it in those images to make sure that I have them. So if you just want to flip back to my machine here just for 1 second, Zoomit is something you, I'm assuming, have all used before. And
But do you use it right?
Well, okay, I'll flip back my machine here for demos, and I'll show you here on this guy what it looks like. There we go. So, first off, I have a full screen maximized window at the proper resolution. I'm all set. I'm decluttered. I'm all good. Now, Zoomit is already running in the background. And the trick is, are you using it right or are you using it wrong? Here's an example of a wrong way to use it. You go in and you try to find what I'm looking for, and then you lock it. It's like, oof, that almost made me motion sick.
How did you lock it?
So, let me back out. So control one fires it off. The trick is move your mouse to where you want to show something. Like if I want to show them this menu over here, move the mouse to it, let go of the mouse, hit the control one for zoom, or control four if you want it to be live.
Right.
Click it with the mouse to lock it. Once you've locked it, you have the ability to highlight. My favorite highlight, I overuse this, is the arrow, which is a control shift and drag from the mouse. Where you click and hold the mouse is the head of the arrow, and you drag out the tail. Okay. That's my favorite one.
Yes.
Other people tend to be more on the, let's see if I can remember what they all are. There's a, is there a shift? No, shift is a line. Alt shift is a line. Alt tab, or the control tab is a, oh, there we go, is a square.
Yep.
Shift tab is a line. So there's a bunch.
Yeah.
You can.
And you can just free draw as well, right?
You can free draw. Also, G for green. B for blue, Y for yellow, and that sort of lovely sort of stuff. I'm just going to exit this because it's pretty ugly looking.
Yeah.
But zoom it and use it, but use it well. You'd be surprised at the number of the people that are what I would consider to be experts in using this that forget that one simple trick of moving the mouse, letting go, hitting control one.
Yeah, because if you're moving around, you're going to get people seasick,
oh,
right?
Oh, yeah, totally, man.
Particularly with these, you know, when you get into the larger screen environments. Right?
I also find that I use Zoomit a lot when I'm going into changing settings on a machine to be able to go in and show the settings I'm going to go off and change here. Like if I'm changing the memory settings in here, I can zoom in. I can draw attention to certain areas. I could also zoom in with a control 4, and it's still live, and I can change this while I'm zoomed in.
That's
which
awesome.
Is also good as well.
Yeah,
and
I love the control 4 option.
In case you haven't noticed, I need to get out of here. There we go. In case you haven't noticed, Zoomit has been revved just in the last month or so by Mark and the team to be able to make it even better with display adapters and better in the modern UI environment.
Yep. An audience comment here, so let's check this out. Most PowerShell demos forget that the command scrolls off the page. IEC is great, but the screen gets very cluttered and small.
Yep.
So, why do I love the ISC? I use the ISC a lot in presentations because I can kind of customize it, right? So we have the three panes within the ISC. You've got your scripting pane, you've got what's happening live, and then you've got your command window on the side. I can close some of those down.
Yep.
Or other times, when I'm going through scripts, I am actually specifically calling out the particular commands.
Yeah, you're.
And it's great to have that all right there. Now, you can zoom it back and show an entire script when you're ready to run that entire script. But I love getting right in there, letting people see all of those commands. I get questions all the time. Exactly, what was that command? Some of those things. It's just a great way to kind of get right in there tight and take a look at it.
Typically, I will close off the commands details on the right-hand side of the screen. I'll also go in and, if I need to, dynamically zoom down or zoom up, even in presentation mode, as I highlight line by line of the text for what I'm going to be doing. And even, you gave me this tip before, as you're highlighting sections of the script, you can go through and execute only those one sections that you highlighted to be able to go off and to step through your script as opposed to running all at once.
Yeah, all of our developer friends out there are going, yeah, we've had that in Visual Studio
for years.
Welcome to the real world, right?
Yeah. Welcome to 1995.
Exactly.
For the
exactly.
PowerShell world.
So let's jump in. Let's jump back to the slides here. The main point of all of this, get yourself ready, get yourself set up for success, right? Mm-hmm. Use all the tools that you have in your toolbox, leverage Zoomit, make sure you've got that nice, clean environment. But really, that's only one piece of doing a successful demo. And I know folks who typically deliver mock already have all of those traditional pieces in place. Mm-hmm. There is one more extremely important part. And if I talk to anybody, it happened. It is the story. You've got to have a story around everything that you do.
Yeah. it's not so much that you're going to be going in and opening up the Mach 2 Module 7 and just start. You have to come up with a way of grabbing their attention. Why is Module 7 and the topic going to be talking about relevant? How is it relevant for them? But also how you can personalize it, maybe with personal experience of using it or working with it that they can relate to. And if you cannot make the emotional connection of the attendee, of the student, of the individual you're talking with, hook on what it is you're trying to explain as you're going through it, and instead just simply go through, okay, I've rehearsed this demo before, click here, do this, start this machine, do this, type an IP address, blah, blah, whatever the strip happens to be, you're going to completely miss the whole thing.
It really makes it difficult for a student or an attendee, if you're doing a larger event, to really kind of get involved, almost, you know, kind of that personal yep. involvement oh. that really helps cement that knowledge.
Tune out.
Yeah, absolutely. Exactly. You just kind of go, it becomes like the Ferris Bueller instructor, right? Mm-hmm. And you just get that monotoned, you know, going yeah. through the motions, writing on the chalkboard kind of piece there.
Now, we actually follow a process. It's a process for Canada, process for the rest of the world. No, actually, it's process for the rest of the world, process for America.
That's what it is.
International English, yes. there's a process. Now you're screwing me up. There's a process that we go through when we're actually getting ready to deliver content, or when we're getting ready to create that demo that's going to be on the keynote stage, whatever happens to be.
Sure.
And I did my best to try to sum it up working with you the other day to kind of make this into something real. And we've got an example of how that all works together. Do you want to go through your example now or wait till the end? What do you want to do, man?
No, I mean, I can absolutely talk about this. And this was a really kind of crazy situation that I got thrown into. Mm-hmm. I constantly joke about the fact that once I left IT and came to Microsoft just a few years ago, that the hardest thing I had to do is adjust to the fact that I didn't have pager cell phone ringing off the hook all the time. Mm-hmm. Because really in evangelism, there's no evangelism emergencies.
Yeah, of course.
Unless, of course, a speaker gets sick 2 days before a big major conference that's being broadcast across multiple locations around the globe.
Mm-hmm. Were you in this situation?
Yeah, I happened to have just been sitting at my desk at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and a guy calls up and he says, "Hey, Joey, so I'm going to be doing this Azure session at System Center Universe in Dallas, and I can tell you right now, I'm getting sick. I can already feel the fever coming on," and this is when that rampant flu was going around. And he says, "So can you go cover this presentation?" Mm-hmm. So it was around Azure and infrastructure as a service, something that I know quite well, haven't really talked about in a few months. So I hop a plane, head into Dallas. I've got my slides ready to go, 40-something slides, a whole ton of demos. I'm just fired up and ready to go. Then I get to the event, and another interesting piece happened during the event where the lunch break had occurred, and then they had three speakers back to back to back without another break inside.
Oh, that's intelligent.
Yeah, exactly. So I was two speakers in, and you could literally feel the air just completely just going out of the room. Mm-hmm. So I reached out to you, Mr. Claus. I was sitting in the audience, and I basically said, caught you on IM, and I said, "Dude, this audience, we're losing them. I'm looking to challenge myself to do something a little bit different. Help me out." Mm-hmm. And you provided me with a fantastic idea.
And sometimes it helps to check in with another person that you trust or that you have a relationship with, just to simply say, "Hey, does this make sense? How can I mix it up? What can I do to change this up?"
So what I did to make things a little bit different is I basically made the decision I'm going to ditch all of my slides. Mm-hmm. And I created an email. And this is one of those crazy, outrageous email scenarios, right? It starts off, you know, email to IT. "Hey, Joey, hope things are going great. Hope you have a great new year and your family's good." Red flags firing everywhere in IT. They're just going, "Holy cow, they're complimenting me. Something must really be wrong."
I did that same trick with Jeff over earlier, asking Vanessa to say, "Can you tell him I'm bringing a laptop?" And she gave him a nice compliment first and then told him he's bringing a laptop for demo. Same thing.
Yeah, and it's Melissa, not Vanessa, but that's
sorry. I'm sorry.
So continue on with the story. Wrote this extremely crazy scenario, this crazy email. I put this email up on the screen, and it basically had all these requests. "Hey, we've got this new accounting application. It's being, we've been working with a contractor. It's rolling out to production next week, and we need all these servers with all this disk space." Easy for me to say. And so we've got this huge, big scenario. And I just basically went from that point into my demos, covered everything without a single slide. Now, I wasn't flying without a net particular environment.
You changed the delivery style.
Correct.
But all of your demos were essentially the same, but now anchored on this one story.
Yes.
And the story was something that was obviously a little bit extreme, but it was something that if you've ever worked in IT, you've probably come across a million times inside your career in IT.
It's really kind of that hook. Every IT guy can relate to this type of situation, mm-hmm. this type of scenario. In fact, looking out in the audience, I saw a lot of nodding heads, and there were actually some laughs and things that were going on as I was going through this extreme scenario. And while I did that, one of the benefits of travel is you get all those really cool little tiny notepads that you get from the hotels.
Yeah.
So I had all of my key points that I had to address. Now, the attendees all would get a copy of my slides. So I wasn't completely just ditching all of that really deep technical information that I had in my slides. But what I was really trying to do is reinforce with the demos that kind of knowledge and experience and really kind of hook them. They can go back and read the slides at a later time. The main point that we had here is that I was able to completely address this scenario with something that really kind of landed with these folks and really kind of hit them in the heart. And the reason I was able to do that is if we hit my slides, you'll see we've got a few key points that we want to cover when we talk about these things. The first piece, know your target audience. Now, I knew because I had done some early reconnaissance before we went into this presentation. I talked to folks. I figured out, okay, where are you at? Do you understand what Azure is? Do you understand what infrastructure as a service is and what the benefits are? And it was really just kind of some quick little, hey guys, how are you doing? Tell me who you are. What do you do? What's your organization size? Really the same kind of things that we do in a classroom mm-hmm. on that very first day as people are coming in.
Yeah, I was doing this last week in Kansas City with Bob. Is that his name?
Yes, with Bob.
With Bob?
The mobster.
Literally having, I'm sure you guys do this now, and if you don't, it's a great little tip that I did when I was an MCT ages ago, was having a floor plan that you just quickly draw on a piece of paper as your students walk in, and you say, hey, how's it going? I'm Rick. What's your name? Oh, what do you do? What company you work for? And then you casually just kind of make some notes in the seat where that person's going to be sitting.
Yep.
And as each person gets in, you have their names, what they do, the size of their organization, and you can throw out some comments to them as you're delivering the module because you cheated and you know the names, because I'm horrible with names and their faces. And it's my little
obviously.
Cheat sheet. If everyone, you know, it's a great simple thing. Maybe you don't do that anymore. Maybe you do. But I always have a cheat sheet when I'm doing some kind of a delivery in a smaller environment, like a classroom environment, mm-hmm. to be able to know who they are, what their background is, and where they're sitting.
Really, even before you start your session, start your class, you've actually kind of started the class and the fact that you're getting to know that audience.
Yep. Same thing applies for demos, and same thing applies for keynotes and for other stuff. Walk around the room, feel out what's going on, talk to some people to get some ideas. Always works.
Yep, always, always, always. Second key piece here, what is your message? What are you trying to convey?
Yeah.
Even in mock, right, there are some key points that we want to land. Mm-hmm. And yeah, you could lean on those slides all the time. It was interesting talking with the Bobster in Kansas City. He says, man, I am completely guilty of leaning on those slides too much. Mm-hmm. Really, if you understand what that message is, what's the key features of that technology, you're going to be a lot more successful, particularly if you've got passion around those technologies.
Yeah.
It may be the 14th time that you've delivered that course or the 80th time that we've delivered that particular demo or slide deck, some of those things. But don't forget, the folks in the audience, this is the first time they're probably hearing it from you.
Yep.
So you've still got to have that passion, know that message, and everything else that you've got inside them.
I also go with an extra little piece on that. It's also a little bit with knowing your audience. Is I always had to be reminded of the fact, or I like to remind myself of the fact, they paid to be there in the spot. Respect them.
Yep.
Start on time, end on time, that sort of stuff, and respect the fact that they're there. But also the fact that not only did they pay to attend, same thing with the conference, they paid to attend. It's their monetary value of their time and their salary is being lost on that company because they're now here listening to you. So that just goes without granted, had to say it. Make sure that you're aware that those factors are there.
And those things can be hard, man. If you're teaching all the time and you're in that classroom, you know, 5 days a week, you know, 8 hours a day, it can be tough. Just keep that little voice in the back of your head, you know, shouting out that, hey, look, you've got to bring it every single time, mm-hmm. right? And knowing that message, knowing that audience really kind of helps to do that. The third piece is how are you going to present that demo? Is it just, are you just going to get up there and just, okay, so I right click here and then I left click here and select this option? And
This can be a challenge, because obviously you have to know the demo's cold. You have to know the lab's cold if you're talking about a mock environment. Hopefully you've created the demo or you've personalized the demo in some kind of a way to be able to do it. But then you have to weave your story through the demo, as opposed to, okay, so now I'm going to launch this wizard and I'm going to click here, take the defaults, do this, add in that, put in the default location for file path, and then done. Whew, look at that, I just deployed System Center. No. you have to have a story that goes along with it as you're going through the stuff, besides simply just doing click, 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 next, done.
Which, that's the one thing that just absolutely was driving me crazy when you started your demo off.
Of course,
I didn't know what the heck you were doing.
I said I was going to do a server manager demo. I just didn't.
And I had no idea what you were doing along the way, right?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, you have to follow it, let the audience follow you along so they can not get lost during the story delivery.
Right. Personalize your story, Rick.
Yep.
Anytime that the story doesn't have to be yours. I find this every single time I go out and I talk with folks, I talk with our customers, I talk to other presenters, we do interviews for the Ed Show and some of those things. I can pick off a lot of little crazy stories that I can then, okay, I'm outright kind of stealing them or reusing them,
not repurposing.
Repurposing them. I'll give you a classic example. When we were in, I want to say it was Dallas, potentially Houston on this tour, you mentioned something with the Royal Canadian Mounted Police,
yeah,
the RCMP, right?
RCMP.
The Mounties.
Yeah.
The big police department in Canada, eh? And I am now going to leverage that story because it was extremely interesting, right? That you had a scenario where they were going to serve a warrant, they wanted to hack a machine, yet this machine happened to be running the latest version of Windows with all the patches and
64-bit
firewalls and 64-bit up.
And BitLocker.
Exactly. I will completely take that story now. And you can say, hey, when I was with Rick, Rick brought this interesting story for Canada, or just make it your own, right? Try to find a way to weave in some of your experiences, particularly with trainers. Mm-hmm. A lot of trainers also do this work in the real world, or they've got students. Man, leverage your students and those comments that are made during class.
Yeah.
Where okay, I've got this environment and I have all of this stuff.
Because I know for a fact that all MCTs are always questioned by their students about how would they do this. Here's my scenario that I have in my environment, Mr. or Mrs. Trainer. What would you do in this environment?
Right.
So there you go. You just harvested a story that you can now possibly use again in a future delivery of that same piece of the course.
Yep, so, absolutely. Definitely. Absolutely. So once you know your audience, you've got your message, you've got a story around it, polish it, refine it. Keep going around and around, testing that out, and so that you understand not only the technical steps of each individual piece of the demo, but also how you're going to weave in that story, how you're going to weave in those various pieces. It's extremely important. Mm-hmm. And I know we've got a comment here that says, mock is huge. It's almost impossible to cover all of this content. How do you not rush through it? Again, it comes down to understanding and having that polish and that refinement and knowing exactly where you're going to go and hook all of these individual pieces together so that you have a very good consistent delivery.
It wasn't me, but I remember taking a course ages ago with a questionable contract trainer that was hired at this one company.
It wasn't you?
No, it was not me. And I won't mention the name of the company or how long ago it was or what the subject of the course was. But basically, they were there. They were delivering this particular course. And they literally, as I was doing the module with them as a student auditing the course, you could tell that the guy was reading the next module ahead of time to be able to be ready to deliver it, almost as if it was the first time he was looking at it. So obviously prep work, you all have time to prepare. We all have only a certain amount of time in the day, and I understand there's definitely challenges that you have getting ready to deliver the first time. It's always nervous and everything else like that too, but if at all possible, you're here as a trainer for a reason. You're passionate about teaching people, you're passionate about technology and helping them along in their career path. You'll be doing yourself a much better service if you obviously are able to take time to prepare adequately, and you have to negotiate and be strong with that that negotiation to make sure that you have enough time to properly prepare for your delivery of stuff.
Yeah.
And so take that time. But then also, like Joey did with that particular system-centered universe delivery, mixing it up a bit to keep it fresh because he knew they need to adjust on the fly. He didn't change his planned demos.
No.
He kept those.
Kept
he simply
the
changed the approach and the style of delivery to make it all work.
Yeah.
Timing-wise, to get through the mock stuff, that's a tough one. I tend to, when I used to be a trainer, I tend to make sure that I cover off the salient points per module, because in my instructor manual, I'd have notes on what all the major key factors were in that particular mm-hmm. module. As long as I hit those major things and showed it through demonstration, and explained that demonstration through story and got the salient points across, then let the students have the hands-on time. That's how I found I was able to get through a lot of the content when I needed to fast, because anyone can read a book.
Yeah.
Anyone can follow up and try it out later. What they're getting the most out of is that personal one-to-one or one-to-few interactions with the trainer, you, the expert, mm-hmm. There in that course room, and also collaborating with their peers to be able to accomplish those labs and then nurture them through them.
You know, one of the things that drives me absolutely crazy, Rick, is when folks have to read every single bullet point on the slide.
Oh, yeah. Like you are right now on the slide over there?
Yeah, exactly. I'm reading every single bullet point on the slide.
It's only because I gave you those bullet points to read, that's all.
I didn't actually read them. I'm just covering them up.
You got
Give me
it.
A break, buddy.
You got it, man.
So you can integrate all this stuff within those demos, right?
Yeah.
Integrate those main talking points throughout the demo scenario, which then when you go back to your slides, you can simply go, and we covered this in the demo, and you saw that I showed this in the demo, and I showed this in the demo. So you can take the slide, the instructions say, hey, I need to spend 45 minutes or 3 minutes on this particular piece,
yeah.
and you can kind of help consolidate that. And again, it comes right back to knowing that content.
I even went a step further when I used to be a trainer, and even when I'm demoing and making environments right now, I'm known for breaking things.
And so you mean
clausing things. And so I find that's my personal way that I learn. Basically, if I can break it and then fix it before anyone notices, then I generally know what I'm doing to be able to troubleshoot stuff. And so I would actually go through with my demos and go beyond the script and the story and try to figure out all the different ways this thing could fail, be prepared for it to fail, and then figure out how to fix it as you go along the way. Again, being passionate about the technology and figuring out different ways that you can either build it up from scratch or break it or put in some hooks into it or something like that to be able to be ready for deviating slightly off the path if you needed to, if a student asked to go down a certain direction and you weren't originally planned to go down to.
Right. So, couple quick hits on some of the things that we've learned ourselves in demo delivery. First of all, hit them head on. Jump right into that demo. I know that there is this strong desire at the beginning of sessions to stand up there and establish your credibility with a 45-minute introduction of yourself.
Hi, my name is Rick Claus. I worked in the industry for 25 years. I've written 6 books, and these are the names of the books. This is where you can buy them, and I'm also an MVP, and I'm an MCT, and I happen to also have MCITP, MCSC, and blah, 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 and on and on, on and on.
This one time at band camp.
Yeah. You don't need to... How about this? You should feel confident in your ability to deliver the course because you are delivering the course. You're credible. You are there. You're the expert. They're mm-hmm. there. They paid to see you. So the last time that you're in their way, trying to justify why you should be there, the more potentially that you're just kind of slowing things down and getting in the way.
Yeah.
Honestly, state your name. Contact details. You're going to become friends with them throughout the course because you're going to be in a multi-day course potentially as an MCT. They'll get to know who you are. Don't spend 15 minutes up front with the introduction of yourself.
Yeah.
It'd be more interesting to find out who the people in the room are than you.
And then jump right in and hit them with that quick hit demo.
I love
the fact when I go into a presentation and all of a sudden you're literally 30 seconds in and bang, there is some. It doesn't have to be big. Doesn't have to be, you know.
You don't have to have the big demo with the star on like we did at the beginning here.
Right,
that was on purpose.
Exactly.
The idea is having a quick hit demo that brings the energy level up right off the bat, as opposed to say, okay, here's our agenda, and here are our modules, and this is what we're going to be covering in each of those modules.
Yep.
No. Boom, hey, have you seen this? This is really cool. Let me show you this. And then go into this demo about something that is related to the module.
Absolutely.
That will catch their attention, bring them up to a nice high level.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, you have to let them have a release and basically come down off of that high. And that's when you get into some of the slides and some of the stories. And then bring them back up again with another demo. But hit them right off the bat first as a good way to start this. Works in mock and also definitely works in demos.
Yeah, absolutely. Another piece that Joey Snow is extremely guilty of. Humor is good, not as a crutch. I've had to learn to rein that back.
Yeah.
Particularly as you start, you know, sometimes some of our audiences, particularly here in the States, it's okay. You go other places, they're not there to listen to you crack jokes. You're not a stand-up comedian.
Right.
Otherwise, you'd probably be making a better living.
Or even if you were a stand-up comedian, you're now an MCT, you should focus on being an MCT, not a stand-up
right.
comedian.
So don't use it as a crutch.
Yep.
Humor is good. It's great to tie in humorous and have some of those kind of, you know, allow humor to help with some of your points.
Yep.
But don't use it as a crutch. You also mentioned don't leave the audience hanging. In other words, don't bring them incredibly high waiting for the payoff moment. Don't keep them all the way down, you know, where they're just kind of stagnant and you feel the energy in the room
Same thing applies to your voice. Change the tone of your voice, change your body position, move around the room with purpose. Don't just aimlessly wander, or don't just stand behind the podium or the desk. Try to find a time to move around inside the room. Behind the students, in front of the students, all over the place. It definitely
right.
helps just to move stuff around. Check it up.
Absolutely. And the most important piece that we have, story's king. It's all about that story. It's all about that storytelling.
Mm-hmm.
And being able to bring in, whether they're your personal experiences, whether they're somebody else's personal experiences, have that story. Build it out. Make it yours.
Yep.
We could spend a lot of time on, you know, how we build out stories, right? I mean, write kind of a script or have an idea. I know that when I hit particular technologies, that I've got a story that tends to go along with it. I've worked in the IT industry long enough that I've got a ton of war stories. It's amazing to me that I actually stayed in IT as long as I did. And wasn't fired because of the amount of things that I've done. You break things a lot, right? It's always fun to poke fun at the clawsing and smearing Mr. Claus does, right? Start it with an outline,
mm-hmm.
right? Get everything. You could do it on an Etch-a-Sketch if that's the way you roll.
It's literally like you're writing. It's like you're writing a script proposal for a movie, or if you're just, you know, working on an essay. If you're in university again, you have to have a beginning, a middle, and end. Your story has to have protagonists and antagonists. They have to have challenges that they need to face. How do they resolve them? And then what's the outcome at the end? And what's the message learned? You have to have all that sort of stuff inside your
story.
Do you
spend a ton of time just like fretting over this story? I mean,
This is one of those subconscious things, once again. Like, you probably are doing this now in your heads as you're getting ready to deliver when you're prepping for stuff anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is simply just bubbling this up to the higher level. When we're doing this for keynote demonstrations, you have to have all this because there's about 20 or 30 people involved for how that keynote's going to go.
Yeah, absolutely.
And they literally count down to the minute how many minutes a particular person has on stage to make sure that particular executive has enough time on stage.
Yep.
And what are they saying and how are they doing it down to that level of detail. So you have to have a script and an outline and a storyboard to be able to get that to work.
Yeah. Work in those key messages within that story. Don't just go aimlessly. I'm great about it. I could tell stories all day long.
Right? Don't just, you know, shoot them out there. Bing, bing, bing. There you go. Like, weave them in.
What's the message? What's
Hold
the point,
audience
right?
if they want to listen to it. Right?
What's the point? You can even storyboard, right? You talk about it. It's just like a movie, just like a TV show script, right? You can storyboard out your stories, even over the course of a course. Does that make any sense? Right? So if you start and you go, okay, we're going to start off, and in module one, we're going to cover these things, two and three. That kind of gets deep in the weeds on this stuff. And four, we're going to cover off this. And then module five, get that payoff moment, right? So you've done, okay, here's this big problem. Here's what we're trying to solve. And you kind of go in, and here's level one of the solution, level two of the solution. And finally, boom, there you've got that big payoff moment. Have that storyboard. It can happen in a module. It can happen through a course of several modules.
Mm-hmm.
And even actually throughout the entire, you know, 4 or 5 day course, depending upon what you're doing there.
Yeah.
Once you've got your story down, once you've got all of those demos down, you spent that time, polish it.
You got it.
Refine it.
Yeah, so the main thing here is, and this is just some points I came up with before, is even though you're trying to do a demo or trying to do a story, whatever it happens to be, you still have to make sure that you have total control of that environment. There is no reason, zero reason, for why demos should fail if you did all your work. None. The only reason why demo fails is because you did something wrong and you weren't prepared for it.
Yep.
Caveat that, unless it was beta software.
Or hardware. Yep.
And there's something buggy. But even if a demo does fail, don't call it out as saying, oh, damn, the demo gods weren't nice to me. That's so nasty as far as just simply, you know, blaming it on somebody else. No, take ownership of it. People are there. They've paid for you to be there. They're giving up their salary to be there inside the course. They deserve to have a demo that works.
I like to do another thing. If I have demo failure, I like to troubleshoot it right there. If I've got the time, if I can do it. Because folks, they love that aspect, right? Oh, well, it looks like we've got an issue here. Let's go figure this out. And so, I will actually use that map of people and look for particular people's skill sets. Or maybe if you've got somebody who's definitely, you can see they've really grabbed on, they've caught onto that concept. What would you do? What's the first thing that you're going to do? Leverage that as a teaching opportunity.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to jump in, though. A caveat to that is you can't do that on a keynote stage.
Well, that's true. That's true. You kind of, when you're timed to the second.
If you're having a blue screen of death and you're next to Steve Ballmer, not a good idea.
Right. Yeah, idea exactly. And then once you get it, run it again and again and again and again and again and again and again.
Can't run it enough.
You can't run it enough.
Yeah.
Get peer feedback. Talk to other trainers, talk to other people that you know that may have that expertise.
If you've delivered a particular mock delivery and you've done it a dozen times, I'm sure you feel phenomenal about how your delivery style is for that 11th or 12th time. Because you've run it, you've practiced it, you've done it in front of an audience, even though no matter how much you practice, how much you do it, until you do it in front of a classroom, you're still not going to have the proper feel for where things are. It'll come. But it's a matter of getting comfortable with the material, being able to do a delivery of it.
Yep, absolutely. Couple more words. Actually, the final two words about story and probably the most important piece.
And they are?
Outside the technology piece. Own it, baby.
You got it.
Make it yours.
Yeah.
If you make it yours.
Personalize it.
Absolutely.
Understand everything that's going on. Take control of the room, control the situation, and own that story.
Absolutely. Just a key example here. I know we're coming up on the time here. A main key example of this owning that story. I was fortunate enough to be able to do a demo on the keynote stage at TechEd North America a couple years ago in Atlanta. I was literally falling on my face because I was fretting over the wording of things, right?
The marketing script.
Because they have a script and it says you need to talk about this and cover it in these ways. And they were ready just to throw me off of that stage or potentially something higher in Atlanta because I was just bombing because I don't talk like that. Mm-hmm. I don't use a lot of the terminology that they use. And I got a great piece of advice just before we went on for final rehearsal. I said, hey, look, I don't know how to say this that way. I don't talk like that. And Jennifer, the gal who was helping run this,
she said,
one of the executive handlers, she said, Joey, how would you say it? And I said, well, I'd say it like this. And she goes, so say it like that. Make it yours. Mm-hmm. Own that story, own that demo, own that course. Control all of the variables that you can, the hardware, the climate, everything else. Get that environment set up. Just own it.
Yep. I think we're almost out of time, my friend. Thanks for hanging out. It's been fun.
Yeah, no problem.
Hopefully the first demo at the beginning didn't make it so that Melissa's not going to ask us back again. and hopefully people that are on the Q&A have realized that's not the right way to deliver the demo.
Yeah.
But
hopefully you've got some good tips and tricks there. And, of course, you know, if you've got questions, anything like that, you've got us on Twitter.
Yeah, I was about to say we have a little fly-in banner with our contact details down there. I don't know where it is, but
we've just caught Jeff.
There we go.
There it is.
Here
we go. So there you go.
Share your experiences on the forums in Born to Learn.
Yeah.
You will be so enriched by sharing your tidbits on how to deliver and things you can do for delivery skill with other trainers talking about training and delivery stuff. So go back to Born to Learn in the forums.
Also at events, if you happen to be at MMS, TechEd, some of those things, get together with community.
Yeah, stop
share
by
war
and say
stories,
hi.
Man. It's fun.
Yeah, we're going to be there.
Yeah, absolutely.
MMS and TechEd, come track us down.
Yeah, absolutely. So coming up, we've got MCT program benefits, updates, so on and so forth. So we're going to throw it right back to Melissa. Take a quick break. We'll be right back. Thanks, everyone, for watching.
See ya.
Bye.